Now look with me, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. No, verse 13. Verse 13. We finished verse 12 yesterday. Verse 13. Now, here is what we are to do as a result of the mighty, wonderful, glorious, I don't have other adjectives to describe it. In fact, the Bible says that we do not have the language to describe this unspeakable truth. It's just so wonderful until it's unspeakable. The position that we hold in the Lord Jesus Christ as born-again children of God, members of the body of Christ, eventually to be married to Christ, and eventually Christ have all the glory of all men everywhere, and there would be an end to all the punishment and the suffering and an end to all of the discouragement and an end to all of the loneliness that those scattered abroad and that they feel very deeply in their heart. Now he says, what do you do about it? Now I'm going to give you some instructions. Now I'm going to tell you. I've told you where you stand. I've told you about the apostles preaching through the power of the Holy Spirit. I've told you about the angels. Just don't understand it. It's just too much for them. They don't understand it. And then in verse 13, he says, wherefore, because of what I've just said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, boy, there's a verse of Scripture that is chock full of doctrine and instruction and encouragement. And certainly, I hope we'll be able to garner some things from there that will stir the hearts of God's people today. Wherefore, because of what I've just said, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, there is no question but what the mind controls the body. Not only do we know that from Scripture, we know from Scripture that you are what you think. We know from Scripture, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We learn from science that all of the controlling mechanism of this body, the movement of every limb of this body, is controlled by the mind that God has placed in the head. So he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, the word gird there, the loins, simply means you pick up the long flowing garments that men and women wore. Oh, you say men wore long flowing garments? Yes, they did. They sure did. But there was a difference in those garments, and there was no question whenever you saw a person coming down the street whether it was a man or a woman. There was no question about that. And that's true in those Palestinian countries today, even among many of the Arabs that live there and the Orthodox Jews and so forth. There is a difference in how they dress, and it's understanding. You understand whether it's a man or a woman. Now, the thing that's happened in the church today, you got to look more closely and a lot of times and sometimes ask questions to find out whether a person is a man or a woman. And that's an abomination in the sight of God in anybody's language and in the language of the Bible. All right, so when they would gird up their loins, that meant they would pick up those long flowing garments, they would tie them about their waist, the men, they would tie them about their waist so that their legs would be free to run. That's to move, go on, and not to be restricted by the garment that came all the way down to the ankles. So wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, get control of things. Get ready to run. Get ready to move. Get ready to do something for God. The problem we've got in our churches today is 10% of the people's doing 90% of the work. And we don't have people who will gird up their mind and get their mindset right. You see, your mindset has a lot to do with the things that you do and the things that you say. If you're always thinking about money, and money is the only thing you can talk about, I tell you, it's disgusting to get around somebody that's always talking about money. It's disgusting to me. I get so discouraged and disgusted sometimes with people who all they can talk about is what they have and how much money they have and how much a house they have and all of the possessions that they have and how they're laying up for a rainy day and they just talk and talk and talk and talk about their money. Well, I've got news for you. That money can fade away overnight. It can fade away overnight. And it's disgusting to be around somebody whose mind is set on money. Now, it's just as disgusting to get around somebody whose mind is set on pleasure. All they can talk about is having a good time. All they can talk about, and many of these things are legitimate things, but all they can talk about is sports and fishing and vacationing and camping and all of their ski trips and all of these things and getting away, you know, for these recreational things. That's all they talk about. That's all they want to talk about. And how much traveling they've done. That's disgusting to a born-again child of God whose mind is girded up in the things of the Lord. You just don't want to be around someone. Not only that, but it's disgusting to get around somebody who's always talking about the physical. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I don't want to be mean, and I certainly don't want to be, I don't want to cause someone to feel hard at me that is sick today, and we have many sick people listening to us on the program, but it's disgusting to get around somebody that all they can talk about is their sickness. Now, it's disgusting that everything they talk about is how they hurt, and they hurt here, and they've got this disease, and they've got that problem, and they have to put up with this, and they have to take this pill, and they have to take that pill. That's disgusting to somebody whose mind is girded up, the loins of their mind is girded up with the things of Christ, ready to do a job for God, ready to run, ready to race. And it says, be sober. Now, frankly, we can understand that soberness as far as drunkenness is concerned would be involved there, because a man who is drunk is not sober-minded. A man who is drunk does not have a sober mind. But he's primarily talking here about a sober mind. Now, that's a mind that is sincere, a mind that is settled, a mind that is not racing from one thing to another, a mind that is gentle, a mind that has some purpose in it, and that's what he's talking about as a sober mind. We meet people who absolutely, they just jiggle from one thing to another, and their conversation and their talk and their life and their action shows that they're not sober-minded. I'll have to close there today, but we'll pick right up there on tomorrow. Be sure that you're on hand.